least a 60% chance of some wet weather coming our way. Mostly cloudy with a high of 47, but some clouds tonight, a low down to 26. Some sunshine to start the day with a high near 48. Sometime in the evening, we're going to run into a small chance of a rain shower, maybe a snow shower, because that's going to lead us into Friday with the same, and a high on Friday just about 39. Sunshine over the weekend, though. Saturday, a high near 40. Sunday, near 55. We're at 48 right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. Your news time is 12:30. Dave Malarkey's coming up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, hello there. Nice to have you with us on a Wednesday afternoon. We have made it to the middle of the week, and it's the middle of the first week of March already. My, my. Time is flying by. It'll be planting season pretty soon. We're going to talk a little bit about that and what you can do, particularly with your trees and shrubs here in the late winter and early spring. Coming up on the first portion of the program, we'll meet our guest here in just a second. Later on the program today, we'll be chatting with folks from the Butler County Armstrong County Blind Association. It's the Next Tier Spotlight Nonprofit of the Month, but that'll be coming a little bit later. First of all, we say hello to Brian Waliniak, who is a Penn State Extension educator specializing in urban and community forestry. Brian, nice to have you with us here on the program today.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
We are reaching you at the Penn State Extension office. You're based in Allegheny County, right?
Yeah, I'm based in Allegheny County, but cover all of southwestern Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. And that's the new model for Penn State Extension, actually. Not so new. I guess it's been around for about 5 years now. But it really enables us to, first of all, talk with a great many additional Penn State educators covering a wide variety of topics. For example, I'm sure some of our listeners, Brian, were not even aware that Penn State had expertise and information available on urban and community forestry, for goodness sakes. That's your specialty.
Yes, and so what I do is I often work with homeowners, municipalities, community organizations, and so forth, about how we can plant and care for our trees in our community, in our yards, and keep them healthy and safe.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what we need to do right now, as we're in late winter. Thank goodness, even though it's a relatively mild winter. But spring is just around the corner. Spring actually comes this year. I was surprised. I checked the calendar. It's March 19th. Which is it's a couple of days earlier. You know, usually it's right around the 21st, but at any rate, it'll be here soon.
Yes, yeah, and so and even as kind of the weather the past few days has been, it's been such that things are thawing out already. We may be seeing buds getting larger on some of our trees and shrubs, and so spring is around the corner. But before we get there, we are still have maybe a few more weeks of some cooler weather before many of our plants are ready to leaf out for the spring, and so it's still a good end. It's a good time, tail end of the season, to do some pruning on some of our trees and shrubs before they start growing again. That dormant season over the winter is a great time to prune.
Now, a lot of folks might not realize that, but it is an excellent time to prune in the late winter, early spring. Now, you mentioned that on some trees and plants, we're starting to see a little bit of budding beginning already. I think you used the term bud break. They haven't bloomed yet, obviously, and they're not flowering, but even if you start to see the buds getting bigger and bigger, is it still okay to prune trees? That's no problem?
Yeah, for right now, yeah, for the most part, most of our species aren't quite there yet. We have, you know, a few species that we'll see things like Cornelian cherry, or which is a related to a dogwood, is one that does bloom really early, and that's probably the one I've seen that actually kind of just starting to see the flowers come out on it. But many of our trees are not quite there yet, so we still have a few weeks. And again, we've had a relatively warm winter, so we're probably a little bit more ahead of schedule than usual.
Mm-hmm. I have noticed that when trees are pruned, and we'll talk about that and how to do it and specifically how not to do it, but it's amazing how quickly small branches will come out and leaves will come out, even on what looks like kind of a stump, you know, in the springtime. Yep. They rejuvenate pretty quickly, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yeah, and so we often are thinking about when we're looking at pruning on our trees, we're thinking in terms of that, you know, that energy in that plant. And springtime comes, it's a burst of energy. That energy is primarily stored up as carbohydrates over the winter. You know, in the fall, it goes into storage and stays stored up through the winter, and come springtime, that's pushed out. We get new growth, flowering, the leaves push out, and so it happens quite quickly once we do get to that point.
What about maple trees, Brian? And I don't know whether this is in your particular area of expertise, but I always think of the month of March with the last snows beginning to melt away as maple sugaring season. Has that come and gone early this year because the winter was so mild? Have you seen any reports on that, Brian?
I have not myself, and I don't know for sure. I would imagine we're probably just getting into it now, pretty much still on kind of normal March time frame here. Mm-hmm. Right about now, when we're just getting a little bit warmer, that sap is starting to flow. So it's certainly probably still happening right about now. But certainly something I always look forward to.
Oh, yes. When the sap begins to flow and the snow is close to its tail end, at least, we can get some pretty big snows in March. In fact, the second biggest single snowstorm we've ever had here in western Pennsylvania came right before St. Patrick's Day about 20 years ago, 25 years ago. So we're not out of the woods yet, but we're getting there. We're close to it, and it's always nice to see the maple sugaring get underway. We have demonstrations of that every year at the Jennings Environmental Education Center here in Butler County. I always explain and demonstrate how it works. It's fun.
Yeah, and it's neat to see, and it just speaks to kind of those trees coming back to life for the season, and gives us that sign that spring is coming.
Let's talk a little bit about how to prune the trees. You've mentioned that now's the time to do it, and if you're going to do it, you'd better get on the stick, because you only have a week or two, really, before it becomes dangerous. I've seen trees that are trimmed, and they just cut the tops off of them, topping them, and that, I know, that is absolutely the wrong way to do it, right? I mean, that's going to kill a tree.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and so, you know, it's something that we often see, tree kind of just cut off at a, any particular location, just kind of topped over, shaped, rounded, some of the terms that we often hear with that, and it will accomplish the task at hand perhaps very quickly, but the problem is that we cause a lot of stress for that tree in doing that, and the response that tree then has undoes all of that pruning that or topping, if you will, that was just done, and so you get this very fast response. The tree gets stressed out and sends out lots of new shoots of growth, and a year or two later, we're back in the same place and have to cut that off again. And the problem with that, too, then, is also that it just creates situations where we tend to get more decay starting into places where those cuts were made, mm-hmm. Versus when we place the cuts appropriately in the right place. And so overall, we start to just impact the health of that tree. And the other part of that, with that decay going on, is we can potentially end up with more potential for branches to fail and fall out. And as those branches get larger, if they fall out, that can certainly cause some harm or damage.
So if just topping a tree, and that's a common term that a lot of people use, topping mm-hmm. a tree, if simply cutting it off so high, even trying to, make it look like it's round, is not the way to do it. What is the proper way to prune then? Can the average homeowner do it correctly, or do you need an arborist or a tree surgeon to do this correctly?
And I think that boils down to kind of the size of the tree that you're dealing with. Certainly on small, young trees that haven't grown up too big yet, things that we like to put in the context of what we can reach from the ground, perhaps with some pole pruners and other tools that give us a little bit more reach. That's stuff that certainly homeowners can learn how to do properly and do themselves from the ground. On bigger trees, we often, it's best recommended if you need to get on a ladder, you probably start to get into that territory where we should call a professional that has the equipment, has the safety gear to be able to safely get up in that tree and do good, safe pruning and appropriate pruning for good results. What we're aiming to instead do rather than that just topping that off is to do more careful, well-placed cuts. To boil it down, the simplest thing is we want to minimize the response of that tree, the amount of stress that we're putting on that tree by cutting a limb off. And so we're looking to make cuts back to where a branch attaches to a larger stem or the trunk of the tree. And what that does is essentially it's the location where that tree can naturally manage that branch being removed. So the tree itself is able to manage that new wound that results from the pruning and most quickly recover from it and reduce the potential for decay that we could get going into the tree.
I'm astonished sometimes when I see there's one of the shopping centers here in the Butler area. It's a relatively new one, and they probably within the past 10 years. And they had it down the entrance road and where it starts to branch out. They probably planted, a dozen trees. Looks very nice. Well, over this past winter, they topped them. And I'm not kidding you, it looks like a seventh grader did the job. I mean, they just cut everything off, and they look horrible. And I'm thinking to myself, doesn't anybody know that that's not the way to properly prune a tree? I mean, I don't know.
And that's what one of the things that I do in my position is we're always trying to get people to learn and understand about how to do good pruning, good tree care and maintenance, and that pruning being a big part of that. And it's one of those things we, as long as people keep doing bad pruning, other people see bad pruning and assume that's correct. And so it kind of perpetuates that way. And so we're always trying to get that word out about how that isn't good for the tree. And there's good pruning techniques that can be used to keep that tree healthy.
What it looks like, and you're looking at a dozen trees here and all lined up. It looks like somebody who hasn't had a haircut for 6 months, and they went to the barber shop and they got a buzz cut. I mean, that's what.
Yeah, it's a very big change, a very drastic change when that gets done. Yeah.
Is there information online, or are there publications that Penn State Extension puts out that can go into a little bit more detail about proper pruning techniques?
Yes, yeah, because it's certainly difficult to talk about that without kind of visually being able to see how we do that pruning. And so we do have some great publications on our website, the Penn State Extension website. There are some good articles and also some publications. If you go to the website, type in pruning, you'll get a number of different articles and publications that come up, depending on kind of what you're looking for. Some stuff on trees. There's some information on pruning fruit trees, which is an entirely different realm because it has entirely different purposes in terms of getting more fruit production. But that's its own specialty. And then pruning shrubs and other woody ornamental plants that maybe are smaller stuff. Other than trees.
So check Penn State Extension online if you're looking for information on that. What if you miss the optimum pruning season here over the next week or maybe 2 weeks at most? Can you still prune later, late spring or early summer, or are you done until fall?
No, we can go ahead and prune again during this once we get the leaves fully leafed out, that tree or shrub is really kind of fully growing again, it's okay to go ahead and prune, certainly then at that point. Because again, we're always thinking in terms of energy levels in that plant, and the leaves, of course, are where that plant is producing its energy for itself. And so once those leaves are fully grown out, that energy level is being restored after that leaf out period in the spring. So that's why we want to avoid the spring once during flowering and then while the leaves are pushing out, because it's using a lot of stored energy during that time period, and so it doesn't help the plant and harms it if we then cut that off and kind of waste that energy for that plant. So once we're into the summer, we can prune again.
One other question while we're talking about pruning. Obviously, if you're doing this job, you want to, cut out dead branches. If you know that they're dead, a little hard to tell sometimes when they're not leafed out, but you may have noticed it the previous year. But I have read, Brian, that a common practice many, many years ago, painting a cut with black paint was pretty common. I've heard that that's not the proper procedure anymore. Can you shed some light on that?
Yeah. So what was kind of thought was we're covering that wound with paint or a pruning seal of some kind to keep bad stuff out, so bacteria or fungus that potentially could get into that open wound and cause decay or disease in the plant. But what the tree does itself is it has that ability to manage that, respond to that wound itself, and so it itself is managing that wound, stopping the flow of water nutrients into that area where that wound is, to kind of seal that off, at least in a chemical kind of barrier fashion, to stop bacteria, disease getting into that wound. And so when we put pruning paint on there, what we're doing at the time of the cut, that cut is still wet, and whatever bacteria or fungus is floating around at the time when we make that cut, we're kind of putting that, sealing that in with the moisture when we put that pruning paint in, and now we've created a really good environment for that bacteria or fungus to take off and grow and cause decay or disease into that tree. So we're better off not painting the wound in most cases, to let that just let the tree take care of it itself, or the shrub take care of it itself. Would mention one, there are minor exceptions to that. When we do have some certain disease issues or pressures in particular species of trees, especially during the growing season, the one we deal with around southwestern Pennsylvania is oak wilt, where on our oak trees, we first of all say avoid pruning them during the summer, during that active growing season. So limit that pruning to the winter time. That avoids that disease problem to start with. And then if we do have to prune, if it's an emergency type thing or we have storm damage, that would be the time where we would paint over that wound. So what that does is it seals out some of the chemical signals that the insects that carry disease, it blocks those insects from picking up on those sensor signals from the tree where they're attracted to it.
And this is just for oak trees, though, huh?
Yeah, so that would just be in our oak trees, yeah. And so the general rule of thumb, certainly good to talk about with that, and it's a disease called oak wilt, primarily in our red oak group of oak trees, what we can think of as the ones with the more pointy leaves versus the white oaks that have the more rounded over leaves. But both are, all the oaks are susceptible to that oak wilt, but the red oaks in particular just don't have any resistance to it, and if they pick it up, they'll be dead within a year.
Hmm.
And so it's a pretty devastating disease if the tree does pick it up.
We have to take a break, but I want to talk about spring tree planting with our expert, Brian Woliniak, so please stick around. We'll talk about that in just a minute or so. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Turn here on WISR for a Wednesday after this.
Now, through March 19th, West End Tire and Service is offering one heck of a pre-spring deal. Buy any four tires and receive a free diagnostic alignment check. That's a $30 value. West End Tire and Service carries tires for everything from cars, trucks, and SUVs to heavy-duty trucks, skid loaders, and even farm vehicles. Plus, they've expanded and improved their mechanical services to include shocks and struts, brakes, oil changes, alignments, tire rotation, tire repair, and more. Stop by and see what's new and like them on Facebook. West End Tire and Service, West Cunningham Street, Butler, next to Battery Warehouse Plus.
The deals at Tobacco for Less just keep getting better and better. Their stores now include a great loyalty program for valued customers that can help you save on your purchases. Each dollar spent at Tobacco for Less will earn a point. And once you hit 200 points, you can redeem $10 off any purchase of $25 or more. Stock up on their various tobacco products, explore the cigar selection in their walk-in humidor, or check out the great CBD products in their health and wellness department. For all your smoking and vaping needs, visit Tobacco for Less in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
We're chatting with Brian Woliniak. Brian is a Penn State Extension educator in urban and community forestry, and we're talking about care for your trees. You have trees on your property. Some folks have a couple. Some folks have a lot. So we've talked about pruning, how to do it, how not to do it. What about planting new trees in the spring? I know of some people in my neighborhood, Brian, that planted trees last fall. Can you do it in the spring as well, or no?
Yes, yeah, certainly. So spring and fall are both great times to plant. What we are looking to do is we talked about with the pruning. We're trying to minimize the amount of stress we're putting on the plant so that we can make sure that it stays healthy. And so springtime and fall, weather-wise, is a good time. Not too hot, not too dry, usually. And so it makes for a good time to transplant our plants into the ground.
Now, the soil has to thaw out. It can't be frozen. I think a lot of soil is thawing out. I've got daffodils that are 8 inches high already, so I don't think we have to worry about frozen soil too much.
No, yeah, and I said we've had this fairly mild winter, and I think our ground is pretty thawed already at this point, and so we're at a point where we can actually put plant trees in the ground already. It's a great time. We were talking about the pruning, about getting to the trees before the bud, before the bud breaks while they're still dormant.
Mm-hmm.
Makes for a really great time to get the trees planted in the ground as well while they're still kind of in that dormant stage or not quite leafed out yet. Really just getting them settled into the ground so that then they can take off and grow when it warms up a little bit.
I think the biggest mistake that people make when they're planting trees is that they don't choose the appropriate tree for a particular location, correct?
Yeah. And so we talk about this idea of planting the right tree in the right place. And so we want to, before we go and buy that tree, the first thing we really want to do is go out and look at the site, that location where we want to plant the tree, and look all around and make some good decisions. Look for, are there utility lines overhead? Are we close to a building or roadway, sidewalks, driveways, things like that, and take all of that into consideration in terms of how big is this tree going to get, and do we have enough space for it in that location? So making some good just visual assessments of the site is really important. And then the other piece to that is looking at the soil. If we are not sure, it's a great idea to do a soil test to see what the pH of the soil is, what the nutrient level in the soil is. The pH in particular may limit what trees will or shrubs will do well in that site.
Does Penn State Extension can you still get a soil test through Penn State Extension, Brian?
Yes, yeah. So that's a really easy process and gives you a nice summary of your pH, your nutrient levels in that soil, kind of what you're looking at in terms of what's in that soil, and when you submit that, you would indicate the what you're wanting to grow in there, so that when you get those results back, they will give you those results in the context of do you have enough nutrient level in that soil for what you want to grow there, whether that's vegetable garden, trees and shrubs, a lawn, or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Couple of more questions in the time we have remaining. I've seen at the home improvement store, the nursery store, I've seen trees that have a burlap bag around a balled up root. I've seen trees that are in buckets, and I've seen just bare root trees. What's best, or does it vary from species to species?
Yeah, there's probably no great answer for that. It just depends on what's available and how it's been grown, and then just depending on what kind of container it's in, or if it's that bald and burlap, that just then influences perhaps some of the steps we take when we plant the tree to ensure that it gets established well. So either container or bald and burlap can work well. We just need to maybe approach how we plant it a little bit differently.
How big a hole do we need? How deep?
No deeper than the root ball, the size of that root ball. We want to go with a wide hole, dig it wide so we've got room to get it in, get it set up right, but we don't want to plant too deep.
Hmm. And one other question, I was going to ask you this earlier and I forgot. This is the time of the year that a lot of people spread mulch. I've heard that it's extremely dangerous to put too much mulch around a tree and get it above any roots that stick up above the ground. Is my information correct on that?
Yeah. So we want to keep mulch away from right on the trunk of the tree. So we recommend is just about 2 to 3 inches of mulch in a ring around around the trees and shrubs, but keep it right off the trunk itself, taper that mulch back so that we're letting air get to that trunk. It's not intended to be buried, and what we can get is we can get decay, fungus taking hold if it stays moist under that mulch. And then if we have decay going on right at that one spot, eventually, potentially, that whole tree can just fail and fall over at the base right there, and the whole thing will fall over. So we can avoid that, keep the mulch away from the base of the tree.
I've seen a lot of that, you know, over the next month or so, month and a half, people are mulching everywhere. And, you know, I've seen some beautiful yards with the four or five mature trees, and people have mulch piled up in a ring around that tree, and it's a foot and a half, 2 feet high. And I'm thinking, man, that's going to kill the tree.
Yeah, and so we call that volcano mulching, and that's the thing we'd want to avoid for sure. And if we do, if we buy a property or are dealing with that existing, it's something that we can actually undo. You know, the sooner we can get to that and undo that process and open up the trunk to some air, the safer it'll be, the healthier it'll be. Hopefully that fungus hasn't gotten in there yet, and pulling that mulch back is a good thing.
So if you want to put new mulch down, dig the old stuff out and haul it away so that you don't end up with 2 feet of mulch.
Exactly, and what you'll find is that it sometimes you may have enough mulch there, and all you really need to do is rake the top surface, break it up so that freshen it up to look nice, and also help the water move through it. When it does kind of mat over on the top, the water can roll right off and not get down to the plant roots. But so sometimes we may not even need new mulch, maybe just to rake it a bit and freshen it up that way.
Great advice to keep your trees healthy and beautiful from Brian Waliniak, who's a Penn State educator in urban and community forestry. Boy, great information you've passed on to us, Brian. Nice to talk to you today. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Sure. So long now.
They have lived a lifetime caring for others, and the time has come for others to care for them. LifeStep Senior Day Program, a trusted provider for over 30 years, can help. LifeSteps provides a safe, medically monitored environment, providing meals and socialization. Seniors can keep their medical provider while retaining their property and offering respite to family members. Free trial visits are available. Call LifeSteps today at 724-283-1010 or visit lifesteps.net.
To us, we're going your way. Getting there stops here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
The Butler Radio Network Marketing Department specializes in helping local businesses grow through cost-effective, targeted advertising. With the right audience and enough frequency, your advertising dollars can provide a tangible return on investment. Our goal is to make your job easier by providing radio for every lifestyle, meaning with unique radio formats, we can reach enough of the right customers to positively impact your business. The secret formula for advertising success comes down to this: what you say times how many times you say it. Call us today for more information or visit our website at butlerradio.com and click on advertising. The Butler Radio Network family of radio stations. We live here, we employ here, we spend our money here, and we'll help your business make more money. I'm Kathy Gregory Steiner, and I love what we do.
Welcome back, good friends. We're going to be talking about the Butler County Armstrong Butler Blind Association on the next segment of the program. The Blind Association is the next year Spotlight Nonprofit of the Month for March. Our guests are Karen Brackett, who is Vice President of Preferred Corporate Services for next year. Karen, it is always a delight to see you.
Well, I am happy to be here. This is a wonderful program, and I have my friend Jennifer from the Blind Association, and she's going to fill everybody in on the spectacular job that they do in the different counties.
Jennifer Bindernagel is here. She's the Executive Director of the Blind Association. Jen, good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
The Blind Association still covers Butler and Armstrong counties,
yes,
is that right?
Yes, we do. Yes.
Yeah. And it's been around for a long, long time.
The 1930s, actually, is when we first got challenged by Helen Keller to be Knights for the Blind through the local Lions clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And the clubs got together and formed the association. And later we were incorporated as a nonprofit in 1954.
Every time that I see something about Helen Keller, an article, or occasionally the magnificent film The Miracle Worker will mm-hmm. pop up on television on Turner Classic Movies. What an extraordinary woman. Actually, what an extraordinary girl and later extraordinary woman.
Right. I think that it just emphasizes the abilities that everybody has. And she was able to take the stigma away from her circumstance and capitalize on her strengths. And she had a wonderful network of individuals around her to encourage her to accomplish all the goals that she did in life.
And she was not only blind, but deaf. Yeah.
Yes. And she was not born that way. It happened through an illness early in childhood.
Mm-hmm. I read that somewhere. She was very young, somewhere around like 5 years old or something.
I think
4 or 5 when she lost her sight and her hearing.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I didn't realize that she was involved in getting...
She was. She was very instrumental in challenging individuals within the communities to assist individuals like her and develop a support network like she had herself mm-hmm. to be able to be independent and educated and willing to try new things and not afraid.
Annie Sullivan, right? Wasn't that
yes.
her teacher?
Yes.
Her mentor, Annie
yes.
Sullivan. Well, at any rate, that's another story for
another
day.
Well, say good trivia. That's
right?
Awesome. Yes.
Well, I've seen the movie a few times, plus the Butler Little Theater did the stage version.
Wonderful show.
It was probably 6 or 7 years ago.
I was going to say 3 or 4 years ago. It didn't seem that long, but time flies so quickly now, Dave.
It was one of the best shows I
yes.
have ever seen at the Butler Little Theater. I mean, it was
great.
Fantastic.
I still hear people talking about it
today.
Oh,
it was terrific. Yeah. Even, this is a little bit parenthetical, but just to show you how good it was, because one of the crucial developments in Annie Sullivan getting through to Helen Keller was they were out in the yard of the Keller house,
mm-hmm.
and there was a pump, you know, an outdoor old-fashioned pump out there.
Well pump, yeah.
Handle, well pump, and... water came out, and Annie Sullivan had her hold it in her hands, and, you know, that was the key. That was the breakthrough. They actually had on stage at the Butler Little Theater a working well pump.
Oh, is that right?
For that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were able to...
That's wonderful.
And that took some technical wizardry to do that. Well,
what a great treasure in our community the Butler Little Theater is.
That's true. Maybe they'll do that again sometime, although that would be hard to top that production a few years ago. So what's happening? You have any events coming up here for the Blind Association in the near future?
We do. In addition to being the nonprofit spotlight for Next Year Bank in the month of March, we, at the end of the month, are going to be celebrating Easter coming in April with Bowling with the Easter Bunny, which is Friday this year, March 27th, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Family Bowlaway. And it's a fun evening. We have the Easter Bunny shows up to take selfies with, pizza, pop, candy, bowling, all for $20 a person.
Is the Easter Bunny going to be doing any bowling, do you know?
I believe he will knock down a couple pins, yes. I'm not sure with a ball or his tail, but a couple
right.
pins will go down.
Well, he could hop right down the alley there, I guess.
I hear past that line it's pretty slippery, but...
So registration in advance or just show up on the evening of March 29th? What's the deal on
both? We appreciate reservations in advance so that we can make sure that we have enough food for everybody and enough fun. But if your plans change and you're looking for a fun night out on March 27th, which is a Friday, stop by the bowling alley at 6 p.m. and you can be part of our crowd.
Family Bowl Away is the bowling alley that's halfway up Fairground Hill.
Right, Fairground Hill, yes.
Okay, and that's the 27th. I wrote down the wrong date. March 27th. Boy, that'll be here before you know it.
I know. And we are looking for businesses that would like to contribute for a lane sponsor, which is $100, and you get your name publicized with supporting the Blind Association. And if there's any businesses that would like to put together a basket for the basket raffle that we have also, we get a lot of nice baskets donated, and people can purchase tickets to try and win a chance at them.
This could be a fun family thing, right?
It is a fun family thing. For all ages, yes.
They have lighter bowling balls for kids.
Yeah, yes. It's a really nice bowling alley. Lots of fun to be had. Good music playing on the radio there. And
those folks at Family Bowl Away, hats off to them because they really go beyond to help the community and help organizations.
They have been very supportive of the Blind Association, and we appreciate them, yeah. Actually, our first sponsor this year we received last week was the Butler Lions Club. Hmm. We'll be doing a lane sponsor, and American Legion Post 778 were the first two that came in to support us this year. So
that's the American Legion Post in Lindora.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, up at the top of the hill there.
Yes.
Do you bowl, Karen Brackett? Are you a bowler?
No. I have bowled in the past. Recently, no. I enjoy it, though, and I will tell you that it is a well-attended event, and it is for a great cause.
Karen, we have bowlers at the Blind Association. I like to call them the Sightless Strikers, but they get together once a month and they bowl, and I won't go with them anymore because I'm not a very good loser. They're excellent bowlers,
out
and challenge yourself to get a score better than the Sightless Strikers.
There are individuals with visual impairment that play golf, too.
Absolutely.
Have you ever seen any of those
archery, golf? Yeah, all of it.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I think I liked what Jennifer had mentioned earlier about Helen Keller and realizing the abilities that she had and not the disabilities.
Yes.
And I think, you know, with the Blind Association, they really help people understand their abilities and not disabilities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, break through that stigma.
She got college degrees. For
yes.
God's sakes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Yes.
Well, at any rate, I'm not much of a bowler either. I mean, I've bowled. My problem was I'm left-handed, but I bowl with either hand.
Okay.
It kind of just depends on what I feel like at the moment, you know.
Okay.
Or just as kind of a novelty, you know, like
right.
a trick shot artist.
Right.
Watch this. I'll do it with the other arm.
Well, Dave, we invite you to come out bowling with the Easter Bunny on March 27th and come show your talents, and maybe I'll bowl left-handed with you.
Believe me, I wouldn't be showing my talents.
Your abilities.
Just to come and get a picture with the Easter Bunny is fun enough, and to make a contribution to the Blind Association.
Absolutely.
It is something that we try to keep going. We do receive money through the state for funding, but it's only 10% of our overall budget.
Oh.
So we do a lot to make up the gaps and the difference, and a big part of that is the community that we live in. Mm-hmm. Having a bank like Next Tier Bank, when Karen said, my friend Jennifer sitting next to me, that's really the relationship that we've been able to build with working with Next Tier Bank. And the different businesses that are able to make up the difference in the budget, and our program with out-of-sight shredding also generates revenue for us to continue going on. But it's important for the community to continue to support the nonprofits with the services that we provide.
Well, this event at Family Bowl Away on Friday evening, March 27th, this would be one of your major fundraisers then?
We have two large fundraisers a year. The first one's Bowling with the Easter Bunny, and the second one is our Harvest Moon Charity Dance in the fall. So we try and eliminate it to two because the calendars in Butler do fill up pretty quickly with all the nonprofits and the different services that are offered. So,
Let's take a break. We'll be back to talk about some of the really many services that are offered to the visually impaired through the Blind Association. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR, Wednesday edition, over the hump day for the first week of March. We'll be back after these words.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Good Samaritan Hospice offers an educational resource to support you who care for your frail or ill loved ones. SeriousIllness.org/Pittsburgh. As experts in serious illness, we have worked with families providing pain and symptom management, emotional and spiritual support, and so much more. Choose Good Samaritan Hospice, 1-800-720-2557.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month, Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. It's the Wednesday, March 4th edition of It's Your Turn. Nice to have you with us on the program today. Karen Brackett is here from Next Year Bank. Jennifer Bindernagel from the Blind Association. I promised Jen that we would talk about some of the services that the Blind Association offers to the visually impaired. And actually, there's quite a few, more than people might realize, starting with transportation. Now, when you think about this, it becomes obvious that people with severe visual impairment, they're not able to drive.
Right. And I'm glad you said that, Dave, because although we're called the Blind Association, we provide services for individuals who are blind or visually impaired. So if you think about your grandparents who have cataracts or glaucomas or diabetic retinopathy, macular degeneration, we provide services for individuals who are dealing with those visual impairments in addition to blindness. And transportation is the first thing that the eye doctor takes away from you, right? Mm-hmm. And you can feel helpless and hopeless. And I've had individuals tell me I felt like a burden because I can't get around independently anymore. So the Blind Association does provide that as a supplement service. We do encourage individuals to remain independent as possible. So if they qualify for BART or AirRide or can ride the public transportation, we encourage them to do that. But we do recognize that some individuals have less eyesight than others and they need a sighted guide escort in addition to the transportation. So for example, the bus might drop you off at the corner and they wouldn't be able to find where the doctor's office is located inside and could get hurt trying to go inside and might also need help with paperwork, filling out paperwork once they get inside also. So our sighted guide escorts are able to provide that door-to-door service for safety and also to alleviate that feeling of feeling like a burden on somebody and providing that respite. So transportation's probably our most popular service that we offer. Our calendar's filled every day with multiple people We are limited to how much we can provide. We only have two vehicles currently, and one paid employee who does that, and we all fill in the rest. So, for example, I'll jump in the car and take somebody to a doctor's appointment when needed. We are currently fundraising for a new vehicle for the Blind Association, so that's a year-long venture that we're going through. We're partnering up with the Butler Lions Club. They're bringing back their 5K fall race, and the proceeds from that will be designated towards a vehicle for the Blind Association this year. So we're very excited about that.
Excellent.
That'll be taking place in October on a Saturday out at the Buffalo Trail, Freeport Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful trail.
So it's going to be a tune-up for the half marathon coming. So we anticipate a lot of runners for our 5K race this year. And like I said, the funds are going towards the Blind Association's vehicle. So we're really excited for the Butler Lions Club.
Blind Association also has support groups, right?
Yes. And this is so instrumental. I had spoken about Helen Keller and the support network that she had had to be challenged and to be supported. And just making sure that individuals aren't isolated or lonely, and that they have a network where they can talk to somebody and realize that they're not alone. Mm-hmm. Other people have experienced these barriers and have overcome them. And just to be able to develop that network and alleviate that isolation, I think, is extremely important. We just had a support group today, and there were probably about 15, 20 people in the room. And just listening to them talk about what they've overcome and what they're facing currently. We talked about stress today and how it builds up, and being able to share with each other what their self-care techniques are. And just hearing everybody talk and having a good time was great.
The offices here in Butler are still on North McCain Street, right?
Yeah, actually our address changed, got updated with the 911. So our actual address now is 322 North Cedar Street,
okay,
Butler, PA 16001.
It's a half a block off.
Yeah, we're in the alleyway behind the Meridon Museum, which is another hidden treasure in Butler County, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wonderful treasure.
We're filled with them.
Life skills education is another area where the Blind Association can offer real help to the visually impaired. You mentioned if you're in a doctor's office and you need help filling out forms, there are a lot of other things that sighted people take for granted, but those with visual impairments would have real difficulties with.
All the time. So anything from helping to balance their checkbook so that they can remain independent with their own banking, to learning to cook again. Mm-hmm. I remember running into an individual when I first started 12 years ago, Dave, was we were sitting having lunch together, and they had asked me to cut their meat for them. And I'd been new to this. So I said, well, I have a knife in the kitchen. I'll grab it for you. And I handed it to them, and they almost started to cry. They said, nobody's given me a knife since I've lost my eyesight. Somebody's always cut it for me. Mm. And that's wonderful that you have a family that cares that much.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm going to give you an opportunity to learn how to do this yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And to be empowered and to be educated to be able to do things independently is where the Blind Association steps in.
You also still have, I assume, that out-of-sight shredding is still in operation?
Crazy busy this time of year, and we're loving it. So out-of-sight shredding is a social enterprise that's part of the Blind Association. It was started with two missions. One was to generate a sustainable funding stream for the Blind Association's operating budget, and the other was recognizing that individuals who are blind or visually impaired want to work, but they don't have a work history for employers to give them their first job. So we created a business where we could employ individuals who are blind or visually impaired to do the work. And it's grown exponentially. We're 10 years old, and we're on the road 5 days a week with two trucks picking up paper in western Pennsylvania.
You can also take items to be shredded.
Yes.
Which I have done.
Yeah. So you can either drop off at the Blind Association. We have a secure bin down there that gets picked up weekly. Or you can go out to our plant in East Butler. It's 107 Bonnie Drive. You do have to schedule an appointment for drop off because it is a secure facility.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that you said you're busier than ever this time of year. Does that have anything to do with tax season?
Taxes and the end of the calendar fiscal year.
Yeah.
So we see two upticks in the year. One's the fiscal year, which ends June 30th, and the other is January 1st, where people are able to purge out their records that they've kept generally for 7 years. So once a year, once you get 7 years old, you should be shredding at least once a year.
Don't need them anymore, and don't just throw them in the trash, because there's too many bad guys going through the garbage.
Identity theft is rampant, and shredding your paperwork's one easy way to create a risk prevention for your business or personal. Mm-hmm. We do both.
The Blind Association is the Spotlight Nonprofit of the Month for March. It's a program that Next Year Bank has undertaken for, Karen, actually, quite a few years now.
Right. We are in our eighth year.
Wow.
And we are delighted to, you know, highlight the nonprofits in our area. As Jennifer had mentioned, there are a lot of wonderful nonprofits, and certainly a lot of them do get some type of state funding, but they rely heavily on sponsorships and donations from businesses and other community members.
And there are, it's not just moral support. Next Year Bank offers a number of services to nonprofit organizations. Right?
Correct. We do offer nonprofit services, which include your typical checking account and some other ancillary services that are within the bank. Two of the other items to highlight on is the merchant services program that we partner with the third party vendor, but also our donor collection, which we also partner with a third party vendor.
And there are information points available on this. If you need information, you could stop at any Next Year Bank branch.
Certainly.
Or call.
Right, they could call, or they could also visit our website at www.nextyearbank.com.
Next Year Bank now has a presence in, is it four counties, three counties?
And that's funny that you asked that, because when I was driving here, I was trying to think how many counties that we're in. So we're in Butler County, Armstrong County, Northern Allegheny County, Westmoreland County, and we're also located in Camp Hill, which is like towards the Harrisburg area.
Five counties. I have to keep adjusting, because every time I go to mention that, there's another county.
Yes. We are thrilled to be part of all of these communities. You know, we've always prided ourselves on being a community bank, and by growing into these areas, it's been wonderful. It really has been wonderful. We have 30 convenient branch locations, and we have 4 loan production offices currently.
And Jennifer, you can give personal testimony to the benefits you've had by teaming up with Next Year.
Working with a local bank like Next Year has really supported our operations. It's an easy bank to work with, and everybody knows your name. That's the type of place it is. I love it.
Just like Cheers.
Right. Huh? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have you seen the new commercial with Norm?
Yes.
I just about fell off my chair the first time I saw it. It was good stuff. Jennifer Bindernagel from the Blind Association, Karen Brackett, who's a Vice President for Preferred Corporate Services at Next Year with us here today. Nice to have you both.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
We are so thankful. Thank you.
Coming up tomorrow, among other things, we are going to be talking about daylight saving time. We have a physician who doesn't think it's a good idea. Now, I'm probably going to disagree with her, because I love daylight saving time. I can't wait till we go to it again and we get that extra hour of daylight in the evening. I guess there are studies that say that it's not so good for your health. I think that's nuts, but obviously this physician's going to argue with me, or at least to debate with me tomorrow. Her name is Dr. Amy Z, so she will be among our guests tomorrow. And it's timely, because we changed the clocks this weekend.
Yes. Weekend.
Go from standard time back to daylight saving time, Saturday night, Sunday morning. So I always like that weekend.
I'm looking forward to it myself.
Absolutely. And you know what's coming around the block. You know, summer's going to be here before you know it.
That's right. Mild winter or not, I'm glad it's going to be over soon.
Yep.
That wraps up our program for today. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, and hope you can be with us tomorrow at 12:30. For the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Baltimore, rocking and dancing, land and sea and shore.